There's no doubt, all who name the name of Christ are in a lifelong battle. We share an enemy who never gets tired. That's why we've been given the armor of God. 5 pieces for defense and 1 weapon with which to strike back at Satan. That weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, a weapon that cuts to the very heart of man, convicting of sin and birthing new life. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. To help us fight the invisible war, Erwin Lutzer is teaching us all about the armor of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 as we now learn about the sword of the Spirit.
Satan does his best work in secret. He really doesn't like to be detected, particularly if his detection puts him in unfavorable light. He'd prefer to go incognito. And that's why you have today secret addictions, secret practices, secret occultism, secret immorality, and the list could go on and on. I've long ago learned that it is impossible for you to know what the person sitting next to you is really going through. They may be going through unbelievable darkness, and you don't know it, even if they happen to live in your home. It is certainly possible that someone is repressing, denying, living with guilt, living with a struggle that no one knows anything about, and the devil is there to make sure that it stays secret, because secrecy is his great weapon, and shame comes along and confers upon the secrecy that respectability. Well, this actually is the last in a series of messages on spiritual warfare, maybe not permanently the last. At some point, I'd like to preach one more message in the series, but I hope that you've had the opportunity to listen, and if you haven't had the opportunity to listen, you know that these messages are available. And I say that because of the desperate need we have to know the enemy and know how we can combat him. Today, our text of Scripture again is Ephesians chapter 6, though I recommend that you not turn to that because we're going to use another passage. But in chapter 6, verse 37 of Ephesians, it says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And this sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon. All of the others are defensive, so that we might be able to stand. But now we're speaking about the sword in which we can actually begin to move forward. And the thing that you don't want to do in your war against the devil is to drop your sword or have it dulled by wrong kinds of combat. Now, there are many passages in the Bible that talk about the sword of the Spirit. For example, one that I shall simply quote to you comes from the 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews it says, "The word of God is quick and powerful, it is active, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword." The Romans used to have a sword that was two-edged so that it would cut either way. "It is sharp and active more than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Wow. What the Bible is really saying is that the sword goes through, just like a physical sword goes through the joints and the marrow of the body, spiritually speaking, the Bible is a sword that goes right deeply into our souls and reveals what's there if we allow it to. And then the very next verse is speaking about God. It's amazing how God and the Bible are tied together. If verse 12 says that, verse 13 says, "And there is no person who is not exposed in God's sight, because all things are naked and open unto the eyes of the one to whom we give an account." That ought to give us some pause. Imagine all the musings of your mind that no one knows about. Those parts of your mind that you think are cordoned off, where neither God nor anyone else is permitted, those are totally bare before God. The imagery is surgical. It is as if God lays us on the table as if you're doing an autopsy. God lays us on the table, and then he begins to unravel us and to take us apart, and he knows the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That's how thorough God's knowledge is, and what God will do for us is actually begin to show us that so that we know we need a Savior. Dr. Alan Redpath, who pastored here for 9.5 years from England, he was a very good and godly man and a great preacher, but he said that he thought that he had conquered most of his sins, and then he had a stroke. And in the midst of that stroke, God began to show him all of the sins that were still in his life: unbelief, moral impurity, the inability to concentrate and to worship, self-centeredness, bitterness, anger, all that, he says, was in my soul. Until he was so desperate, it was as if God said to him, Alan, I want to show you that the only good thing about you is Jesus Christ. And that really is true. The only good thing about us is Jesus Christ. And the benefit, you see, of knowing who we are in God's presence is that then we are driven to him and we see our need of Jesus. And the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it shows us who we are, if we allow it to. Now, what I want you to do is to take your Bibles now and turn to the 4th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, because I think of all the illustrations of the Bible, Jesus shows us more specifically how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus shows us that more clearly than anyone else. And the 4th chapter is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but don't allow its familiarity to cloud you from its life-changing principles and message, because at the end of this sermon, I'm going to be giving you some life-changing principles that will enable you and equip you in our war against Satan. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, are there some people who don't believe in the devil? The answer is yes. All those whom the devil has deceived do not believe in his existence. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And we want to say, wait a moment. Jesus is led up by the Holy Spirit to be tempted? And the answer is yes. God does lead us to the place of temptation, no question about it. He does that to bring out the best in us, and in that process, Satan is there to bring out the worst in us, and how we choose is going to determine which wins. So Jesus is there, and he's driven by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones to become loaves of bread. Wow. Well, what's wrong with that? I'm told I've never fasted for 40 days. I fasted a few days, but never 40. But I'm told that after you fast for 40 days, during the fast itself, you aren't very hungry. But afterwards, you are just ravenously hungry when the 40 days are over. So the devil comes when Jesus is very hungry and says, since you are the Son of God, that's the way we could translate it, since you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, what's wrong with that? Nothing. I'm sure that afterwards, Jesus did indeed eat bread. As a matter of fact, there's evidence that later on, as you know, Jesus actually took fish and created bread. So what was wrong with this? Well, the answer is simply that this wasn't the time yet for Jesus to eat. And Jesus was saying, in effect, that this was not the time, and he could not act independently of his Father in heaven, who basically, day by day, communicated to Jesus what he should do, and this was not the exact time to do it. And so Jesus reports to the devil and says, the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Jesus says there are some things that are more important than the cravings of the body. There are some things that are more important than bread. There are some things that are more important than money. There are some things that are more important than satisfying our physical desires. And there are some things that are more important than that, aren't there? You see, we are given bodies with physical desires, the sexual desire, which not only is good biblically, but it is also very holy. But what Satan wants us to do is to misuse it. And so what he wants us to do is to use it independently of God's instruction and God's book. And then there are all kinds of cravings of the body that are artificially created. Some of you struggling with alcoholism, some of you struggling with drugs, and you know how those cravings want to control you. And Jesus said there are some things more important than fulfilling those desires. And the devil's involved in these things in various ways and on various levels. The best way to describe the devil is to say that he's like a firebug. He's like an arsonist who is sent to his own fires after they've begun. He comes and he wants to take our natural passions, which we struggle with anyway, and he wants to inflame them, to pour gasoline on them and throw a match on them, so that we think in terms of a certain inevitability that we need this or we need to do this. And then after everything is burned up and everything in our lives are decimated and we begin to cry to God for help, Satan shows up and says, you know, you've really messed up, haven't you? As a matter of fact, God is so mad at you, there's no use even turning to him. And so people go their own way, and they believe the lie at both levels. Lie number one, do it once, it won't matter. Lie number two, now that you've done it, don't bother standing up. Stay down. When I was growing up in Canada, we used to play a game that some of you may be acquainted with. It's Fox and Goose, and Fox and Goose was played out in the snow. And we'd have a huge ring, a huge circle, and then like wagon spokes. And we had certain areas where you would be safe, and we'd play tag. And we used to stay in the trail whenever we had a new circle that we made. And we had lots of room for new circles where I went to school. Went to school with a horse and buggy and a sleigh in winter. Can you believe that? I guess I belong to a different era because some of you are not connecting at this point. But one of the things I noticed that was when we made a brand new circle, we are very careful to stay within the lines, but then eventually it had become so messed up, we would just go through and we would kick dirt into it and we'd mess it up good and proper. That's what Satan says. Here's a craving of your body, he says, and I promise you that if you do it, you'll be able to control the consequences. After you give in to it and you can't control the consequences, he comes back and says, now that you've messed up so badly, mess it up good and proper. There's no use even turning to God. So what we have to do is to use the word in fighting against the temptation to fulfill every craving of the body. Jesus said some things are more important than bread.
Oh yes, my friend, but I want to end today by giving you hope. If you have fallen, if you feel as though your life now has been messed up because of decisions that you have made or that others have made for you, there is hope. Would you turn to Jesus Christ for forgiveness? If you've never received him as Savior, you do that. If you're a believer, you come back for cleansing. Jesus is there to give you a new beginning.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, introducing a message on The Sword of the Spirit, the last of seven in his series on The Invisible War. Tomorrow, more on using the strategy Jesus used to make the devil flee. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our series on the Invisible War can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the Invisible War. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.